The Trump administration is proposing major cuts to the Environmental Protection Agency, and in addition to losing their livelihoods, many EPA workers are worried that there will be fewer people combating pollutants or protecting water supplies. Some of them want to speak up, but being in the public eye makes many of these scientists and lawyers uncomfortable. So in Chicago, some EPA employees are getting public relations training so they can make their case. Lauren Children from WBEZ in Chicago reports.
Being interviewed by a public radio reporter is maybe the last thing on earth that Nicole Cantello wants to be doing.
Is this uncomfortable for you right now?
Yes.
I know you're like not even looking at me.
I know. I don't want to be I want to talk to the press. Sorry.
Cantello is an attorney and union steward for the Chicago-based branch of the EPA that covers six Great Lakes states. And for almost all of her 27-year career, if reporters called, she would hang up on them. But Cantello says as she watched the returns come in on election night and it was clear Donald Trump was going to win, she knew she was going to have to change her ways.
Just sitting there in the bar that I was watching the election in with my two girlfriends, I just realized that I had this huge, daunting task ahead and no one else was going to step into my place. No one was going to want to do it. And I was going to have to do all of this work that I didn't want to do.
Cantello says she and other union leaders figured the EPA was going to be on the chopping block, and they were right. In his budget, President Donald Trump is proposing a 31% cut to the EPA. And there have been rumors that the administration would close the Chicago regional office, though they've been disputed by EPA leaders. So Cantello and her colleagues started brainstorming who else they should enlist for battle.
And we thought we had to hire a lobbyist. We thought we had to hire a lobbyist for Congress. But several people, including several senators, said to us, no, you should hire a publicist.
So that's exactly what they did. That's why today, Cantello and seven of her union colleagues are using their lunch break to take a storytelling class.
We're just brainstorming a list of possible things that you, stories that you could tell.
It's led by Joanna Klonsky, who is usually found in Chicago's City Hall juggling press requests for aldermen. But today's lesson is not only how to be comfortable with the press, but how a group of incredibly smart scientists and attorneys can stop sounding like, well, scientists and attorneys.
So we're talking about coming up with how to tell a story that takes the information about what you do out of sort of wonk land and brings it down to earth for regular folks like me who are not scientists to understand and relate to.
Each of the students, so to speak, are asked to write an outline of a pivotal moment in their career and then share their story with the class. Heriberto León goes first.
I remember in particular in St. Clair Shores, Michigan, for the 10 Mile Drain Superfund site, we had announced an open house because we had to send a number of letters out to residents to tell them that the state of Michigan was revising its standards for PCBs, which is the contaminant of concern at this particular site.
So not to pick on Leon because it was super brave to go first, but his story is a perfect example of why everyone showed up today. He launches into a long story about PCBs, eventually getting to a scene where a woman won't listen to the EPA workers because she said she didn't trust the government. But as you can tell, it takes him a while to get there. Klonsky, the teacher, kindly asks Leon and the students to figure out what the nut of the story is. In other words, what's the part that's going to stick with people?
So it's important that they get the message.
PCBs, bioaccumulating
right.
fish.
Right. They could fish in Lake Clair or St. Clair Shores. And so if she doesn't believe the government, she might go and fish there and ingest it and get PCB poisoning.
So they get the message, but then all that goes sideways into a conversation about PCB bioaccumulation.
People don't know what that means.
And
isn't it more toxic as it goes up the as it goes up the food chain?
That's called biomagnification. Bioaccumulation is where you eat it and it goes into your fat.
Eventually, everyone does agree that these probably aren't words that most non-science people understand. And so if they want to get across the importance of the EPA's work for public health, they've got to use simpler language. Many of the people in this room say they're completely shocked it's come to this. They never imagined they'd be in the New York Times or the Chicago Reader. But one student, attorney Jeff Levino, says he knew this day would come, no matter who won the election.
The Environmental Protection Agency has done a wonderful job. And it has done it so well and so quietly, people have forgotten how well and how quietly we do our work. There's, you know, my wife and I keep a pretty clean home. My children think it occurs naturally. It doesn't.
Levino says he grew up in Sterling, Illinois, and he remembers seeing black smoke pouring out of factory smokestacks 24 hours a day, and what a victory it was for the community when that factory finally shut down.
The bottom line is we have forgotten what it was like in the 60s and 70s when air was black, when water caught fire. We need to remind people that the reason we need to continue to do this is because we don't want to go back to that.
So Levino and his colleagues are trying to arm themselves with some new skills so they can fight these old battles. For Here and Now, I'm Lauren Chulgen in Chicago.